Hello, brothers and sisters. This is Jonathan Riddle with Wake Up America Church Ministries. Hope you guys are having a wonderful day. If you're the first time listening to this, well, welcome. We are going through spiritual warfare. It's a preaching, teaching, I guess, / series. If you're first time hearing this, you're came across this website and you're checking out, I encourage you to listen to part one. And part one was simply how this website's not I guess fancy. It's I maintain it. Eventually I would like to get a little bit better quality on stuff, but that costs money. So, and this website is self-funded, meaning I pay for it and I maintain it, of course, with the help of the Holy Spirit. So, and I don't ask for no money. Thought about maybe putting, PayPal up there one day, but we'll see. But all the context on this context is free, so you use it how you want. But you would scroll down if you're listening to this one. This is part five. You would scroll down, you would see part four, part three, part two, part one. I encourage you, because this is part five, to listen to part one, listen to part two, listen to part three, listen to part five. Now, you don't have to, but there's things I won't be talking about because I've already talked about them. So you may hear the message and say, hey, man, he left that part out. Oh, he left that part out. Well, now listen to the full messages, and it could appear that way, and you could draw the conclusions as you want. Once again, spiritual warfare, the devil will use that to cause you to attack me. Spiritual warfare, of course, ain't nothing unusual. I get attacked. That's part of these type of sermons. You get attacked. It's just what it is. You never will ever please both sides. So whatever, you just accept it, right? But I encourage you to listen to part one, part two, part three, part four. This is part five. Also on this, there's plenty salvation messages on this, Bible studies. So all for your charge. You can, and of course, you guys have been listening to this. Praise God. Thank you for listening. Thank you for loving God's word as much as I do, because I love his word more than anything else in this life. So this is part five. Last week, I took the weekend off, just kind of relaxed a little bit. If you guys don't know, I'm having all kind of car issues. My wife and I were down to one car, and that car started acting up. It's just been, and of course, my wife's health, and so it's just been kind of, along with everything, a bunch of other things, but that's life, right? So I just needed the weekend to just kind of relax a little bit. And of course, everything that these studies or these preachings I do, they take time to study. And I'm not saying I'm perfect and that I'm hitting on every aspect and that I could be wrong on certain things. And of course, this website has a email thing. You can email me any questions that you have, and I will do my best to answer them if I can. Of course, on Facebook, you can. If you're not on my Facebook group, you can send me a Facebook request. Just state that you listen to this website. You can even send private messages through Facebook without being part of my group. So I can answer your questions that way. So if you ever have questions, you can always reach out. That's social media for you. I mean, you have no reason not to ask a question if you have any questions about the context of the series or anything that I preach on or teach on. So today we are looking at three basic rules of spiritual warfare. That's three basic rules of spiritual warfare. I will not be able to get through probably all of these. I probably will get to two today, because I have almost 9 pages of notes here. So and they average from 9-10 pages, and normally that's a lot, and of course you leave room for the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit to God and talk about things I don't even have on my notes sometimes, and that's just how it is, so that it can extend longer. So we're just going to play this by ear, like I do a lot of things, although there is prep and a lot of studying going on. But three spiritual warfare, three basic rules of spiritual warfare, and of course, we've been kind of on Genesis 3, 1 through 7. I've been, on this a lot, but to me, this passage is critical for us to know if we're going to talk about spiritual warfare. The first passage that we really need to understand is Genesis 3, 1 through 7. That is the fundamental. And then everything attaches onto that. All scriptures attach onto that. From Genesis to Revelations. So having a fundamental understanding of Genesis 3, 1 through 7 is important. That's why I've been on this quite a bit. And when you leave this study, hopefully you got a full understanding of these passages and that you can explain them so fluently. When it comes to spiritual warfare, hopefully you'll be able to explain it better than your pastor or your preacher, man, because what you see, you will not see many preachers, pastors, hitting on these verses. And a lot of them will voice the word spiritual warfare. They won't deal with it, and that's sad, because that's how Satan operates. If we're not equipping our congregation to understand there is a war, it's been raging on humanity at this point in Genesis 3, 1 through 7, and it continues until our Lord Jesus Christ comes back. And I know I cannot wait for that moment, and when that happens, I long to be with my Father in His house. And when I say house, I'm just saying heaven, right? So being within the presence of God when I die, and living in a internal joy and peace, it's going to be wonderful. So if you have your Bibles, Genesis 3, 1 through 7, and what we're going to do is I'm just going to read these scriptures again. I know I've read them over and over, but you know, there's nothing wrong with redundancy is how we memorize scripture. If you don't, and I encourage you to memorize scripture. How do we memorize scripture? There's many ways of memorizing scripture. One is reading it over and over and over and getting it in your mind. The more you read it, the more you study it, the more you rehearse it, the more you retain it. So Genesis 3, 1 through 7 says this, and now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. He said unto the woman, yea, have God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, that God said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God do not know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked. They sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just come to you just thanking you for this opportunity, Lord, just getting to your word. We lift your name above any else. We pray that your will be done in our lives, in this study, in this preaching, God. The Holy Spirit is welcome. Let him invade this preaching and teaching. And let him invade our lives. Where we're at right now, what we may be experiencing in our life. knowing that this life can be heavy sometimes. Could be heavy quite a bit of times for some of us. Knowing there is hope at the end of the road of our life. When this life is said and done, and when our last steps are done on this earth, all that will truly ever really matter in the end is what we did for you, how we let our light shine. I know we can be busy little creatures here running to and fro, getting so distracted by the enemy distractions, staying busy, missing the opportunities all around us that we can be the light to those and the hope to one person that needs to hear about Jesus Christ. Let's not blind our eyes from that. Every day is the opportunity for us to tell someone about Jesus. If we don't, we have missed that opportunity. And I know Facebook and whatever is a good opportunity to reach people, but oh, physically seeing somebody, looking to their eyes and telling them about Jesus is important. Pray that you are that light. Pray that your mind is open to spiritual warfare and how time is getting closer and closer to the end. This world has an expiration date. I'm going to tell you, it's closer than it ever has been. When we look at the days we're living in, they just look just like Sodom and Gomorrah, as the days of Noah. And it will get worse, but it has to get worse. As you say in the scriptures in Matthew, you speak, as the days of Noah, so will be the second coming of Jesus Christ, the Son of Man. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. So, three basic rules of spiritual warfare. So, as I said before, this is part five. And I pray that you're learning from this series and that you're applying it to your life. It's all about application, guys. I'm about application. If you've been following this ministry for a time, you know I'm about application. If you're not applying what you're hearing, you're falling for the traps of Satan. See, Satan fears application. He could care less you hearing God's word. He prefer you not to. But what he doesn't care for is the application of God's word to your life. And I pray that you are applying God's word to your life. Like it or not, you are in a spiritual war, composed of battles every day. You know, you may not want to acknowledge that. It doesn't change the fact of the matter. It just means you're playing right in the hands of Satan, and he loves it. He's been doing this for a long time. When you look at this world, he is very good at it. When you look at the supposed church out there, the church is supposed to be standing on truth, but all you see is silence or not application. They are playing in Satan's hands. But application is a key here. Hear God's word, apply the word to your life. So three basic rules of spiritual warfare. I won't get through all these. That third one I probably will not be able to get. I try to keep these down to an hour. That's rough because I just want to preach for hours and hours when I get into it. The first one, I'm just going to state these out, and you can write them down if you want to. Do not let Satan direct your conversation. Do not let Satan direct your mind to doubt God's goodness. And third, do not let Satan direct you to deny God's word. That is, I'll state those again. Do not let Satan direct your conversation. That's point one. Do not let Satan direct your mind to doubt God's goodness. That's point two. And do not let Satan direct you to deny God's word. That is three. So those are the three points. That third point I probably will not get to today. But, and we'll get to it next week, Lord willing, if I'm still here, still alive. Point one here is, do not let Satan direct your conversation. In our reading, Genesis 3, 1 through 7, which we have been camped here for a while, and this is a very important passage to get that foundation of what spiritual warfare is on humanity. We read about Adam and Eve and how they have listened to the lies of Satan, our enemy. And they're indulging in these lies. I want to tell you, Satan is not worthy of our time. Going into conversation with him is never good. The only conversation that we need to have with our enemy is, thus said the Lord, and it is written. And you, of course, you can go over there to Matthew 4. I'll touch a little bit on that, but not much. Matthew 4, where Satan comes and tempts Jesus, and how Jesus handles that. That is the model of how we are supposed to handle Satan, and this is a model that Adam and Eve should have handled. And now we could take Genesis 3, 1 through 7, and we could look at Matthew 4, and we can compare the two, what not to do and what to do. Scripture is so clear on this. If Adam and Eve would have said, guys, this is what God has said, his word, right? To not eat from that tree in the middle of the garden. God said it. He is truth. He is greater than you, Satan. And of course, drop the mic and go, and they would say, that's it. End of conversation. I am not going to get into a two-way conversation. You do not deserve my time. You deserve not my resources. You are scum. For I am a child of God. And went enjoy God's paradise. One way. That way is God. His word is truth. His word is life. His word is light. And see, Satan wants to destroy all that is good. And God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good, even in the hard times. But Satan wants you and me, right? He wants us to question his goodness. But God is good and Satan is bad. And that is a fact, I don't guarantee you. And God is light, Satan is darkness. And I want you to point here, I want you to think a little bit. I want you to ponder this. When we enter a conversation with our enemy, and never doubt our enemy is Satan, and of course his demons. But I want you to get this. Who are we entertaining in our lives? I want to kind of expound on this kind of sub-point here is, just think, and I'm going to provide some scripture, John 10:10. I want you to get, when we go into conversation with Satan, who are we entertaining? John 10:10 says, as a thief, Satan comes not but for to steal, kill, and to destroy. And I came that they might have life and that they may have it more abundantly. What we see is Jesus speaking. He said, Satan, the thief here is Satan. He says, Satan has come not what to steal, kill, and to destroy. But Jesus said, here I am, right? The great I am. The I am in the burning bush. God made flesh. Said, here I am. I come that you may have life. And have it more abundantly. What he's speaking not is of the material things you can gain in this life, but what you could do for him. Satan is a thief. Never don't think he does not want to steal, kill, and destroy. This is his MO. Does that sound like that Satan has your best interests in mind? When thinking of the words like steal, kill, and destroy in this context, this is negative. This is wanting to remove something from your life, even to destroy you, attack on you. But Jesus says, I am opposite of that. I want to truly give your life meaning. I want you to go into that world and live a godly life and reach others with the gospel. That is the abundant life. It's to be able to be the hands and feet of Jesus. All the material things in this life, whatever. give it, throw it all away. Give me Jesus. And I know you will not hear that. And I know this world doesn't really want to hear that. And I know that doesn't sell in the prosperity gospel and the ones that feel good messages that people are, that these heretics are preaching, that are gaining momentum. And I'm going to tell you, they're lining up right up with the Antichrist in the end time, and they will step into that. And the people that are harping these wolves into their lives, enjoying them, and they're making them feel good, they will walk right into the mark of the beast. They will align right with the Antichrist. Of course, you may be like, Jonathan, we're going to be raptured, pre-tribbed. You know, if you follow this ministry, I know you won't like this. I'm not pre-trib. I'm post-trib. Is it a salvation issue? No. Is it a prep issue? Oh, yeah. This is not part of my notes, but I won't get too heavy in this. I believe pre-trib is a deceptive one of the deceptive devices that Satan has infiltrated the church on, and people will not want to hear that, and I will not, especially in the area I live, majority of the churches preach pre-trib, and a lot of them will not invite me back to their church because they know I stand on that we will experience a level of suffering that we have never experienced before or ever have been, and they don't want to hear that. They want to hear that we'll be raptured out of here before. And I know all the arguments. And I know if you're listening to this, you're going to challenge it. And I'm not going to get into that right now. I want to just tell you, if you do ever want to reach out to me, reach out to me through Facebook. If you're not part of my Facebook group, fan, send me a private message on Facebook. Reference this website out and present that question, and we will go into this. I will go verse by verse for you. I will explain, expound on scripture. And I've looked at this and I've studied this so for the last 5-6 years now deeply. I'm still studying it, and I want to tell you. I just want to get, when I'm sitting there saying I strongly believe this, it's because, not because of Jonathan personally, it's because of the travailing of the Holy Spirit in my life and the deep studying of God's Word that leads me this way. And I know many will not agree with me. I won't tell you in the end when the realization that the pre and the mid post realize they are wrong. And it's not about being wrong or right. This is about my heart being poured out to those to recognize the deception. And just ponder this. I'm not asking you to change your stance on it. I'm just saying, what if you are wrong? Say the pre-trib is wrong and the mid-trib is wrong. And now you realize that we are enduring a lot of revelations. Will you still stand? If your life is online, meaning you could physically lose your life, will you still profess to know Jesus? If somebody walks, comes into your home, kicks your door down, capture your family, throw them in jail, then they bring you into this room and they're saying, we're going to ask you this question, are you a Christian? And if you are, we're going to kill you. Would you say, yes, I am? Or would you deny him right there? That's the only question. I can't answer that for you. I just want to tell you, this is about truth, guys. I know this. I'm stepping on toes, and I get that, and I want to tell you I love you more than what you can imagine. I don't know who's listening to this. All I know is the reality of the situation. Our time on this earth is wrapping up more than what most don't even realize. Look at this world, guys. Look at how gender confusion is infiltrating everywhere. How homosexuality is becoming normalized. It will continue to be normalized. Don't think that's going away. Don't think transgender is going away. the madness will increase to a point where it's going to be even preachers, mainstream preachers are popular. They're not hitting on homosexuality. They're not hitting on transgender. They're not hitting on these topics. Why? Because they want to remain popular. What we're living, in a, especially here in America, a post-Christianity, a decline of a true Christianity, true biblical Christianity, and that decline will keep on going until the very end, where preachers like me will face consequences if we do not change our perspective on the sanctity of marriage. I don't profess to be a prophet or anything like that. I'm just a humble man of God, and I just hit on topics that I see that sad that majority of churches will not hit on. And this is part of deception. This is part of spiritual warfare. Satan is smart. Never think he is a fool. He was able to deceive Eve. Adam was just an open rebellion, pretty much. We'll touch a little bit on that, maybe. But in the end, this is how sin comes into the world. I believe Adam and Eve, and this is going a little beyond what Scripture will say, but God said when He created everything, He called it good and very good, meaning we can assume that Adam and Eve they had free will, but they weren't limited. They were not going to die. Their intellectual abilities would be on anybody's today. They were highly intelligent. But what happened? They did not trust in God's word. I don't care how smart you think you are. If you don't follow God's word, you're going to fall. For every trap that Satan has placed out there for you. 1 Peter 5:8 says, and this is just continuing that theme, who are we entertaining when we go into a conversation with Satan? 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. Here, the devil, Satan, is being seen as a roaring lion. Now, you may watch documentaries on animals. I love watching animals. Should have been a veterinarian. Always thought about even maybe eventually going back to be a veterinarian, but I'm getting older, so I don't know. Animals, I love animals. I love dealing with animals. Anyway, animals, man, they don't have no hidden motives. But you think of a roaring lion on the hunt. They're not playing around. They're prowling. They watch very stealthily. They're looking for something to eat when they're hungry. And they're on the hunt. And when they sneak up on that animal, they prowl, they jump, and they rip that animal from limb to limb. I'm going to tell you, that's what Satan does. He wants to rip us from limb to limb. And Peter here tells us, he says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, he is a roaring lion, walking back and forth, seeking who he made the fire. See, Peter was, he understood his enemy from experiencing the attack, experiencing spiritual warfare. Matthew 16:13-28, I'll just read it all. I was going to say that I probably won't get to that third point, because I just love putting scripture in there, because I love God's word, and you will get hit with scripture upon scripture. And I encourage you, in the end, go back to the scripture. Write down the scriptures I'm using to make your own conclusion through God's word. You may not care what I have to say, and I know I didn't provide any scripture pre or mid or post, because that will lead this into about a 4-hour sermon. And that's not the point of this. The point is recognizing Satan is very smart and deceptive. That is what I'm getting at. I don't think he hasn't deceived the majority of the churches today. Matthew 16:13-28 says, when Jesus came unto the coast of Caesarea Philippi, and he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, other Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He said unto them, but who say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered, he said unto, art thou the Christ, the Son of the living God? And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bajona, for flesh and blood had not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, upon this rock I will build my church, in the gates of hell, they shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whosoever shall bind on earth shall be bind in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. And of course, those 18-19, those are, I'm not going to break those down, but they can be construed verses. But and then verse 20 said, then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was that was Jesus the Christ. From that time forth began Jesus show unto his disciples how he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed and be raised again that third day. And then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. And then Jesus says, but he turned and he said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art offense unto me, that has saved not the things that be of God, but the things that be of man. And then said Jesus unto the disciples, any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man a profit if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with the angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Verily I say unto you, there will be some standing here that shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in this kingdom. See, Peter is calling Christ the Son of the living God in verse 16. And then in verse 23, he's being rebuked. Just think about that. This is a clear indication how we can easily get off that path. One time Peter's is right on point, and then he's off point. And then Jesus comes to verse 24. And he gives that the dying of self and that life that we are supposed to be living, denying ourselves, taking up the cross and following him every day. He speaks of losing our lives, and we shall find it. And in verse 26, for man profit, he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul. Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? I'm going to tell you, you cannot serve this world and God. It doesn't work that way. Satan has, that's another lie that he's infiltrated within, especially churches in America. You can serve two masters. You can compromise who you are in Christ. And you're doing this and you're not feeling the conviction of the Holy Spirit in your life, you got problems. If you're appearing to be something different than you are on, if you even go to church on Sundays, you got problems. Not thus said Jonathan, but thus says God's word. I could give you many references, but this right here, Matthew 16:24-26, says it all. And you can, of course, cross-reference that. And we know Jesus said you can't serve two masters. You hate one, you love the other. But what I'm getting at here, Peter understood how the enemy operates. And even if we look into this historical account, Peter denies Christ three times. Even Christ tells him that. He don't want to accept it. And then he does. He felt that roaring lion. And that's when he says, stay sober and vigilant. Being in God's word is that's one way to be sober and to be vigilant. When Satan comes a knocking, we direct him to God's word. Darkness cannot hold to the light. Scriptural memorization is important. And if it's hard for you to memorize, I get that. It can be. Memorization can be challenging. I'm working on trying to memorize some books of the Bible, and it's challenging. But if you're having trouble, just keep God's word around you. Keep a Bible around you. Most phones have Bible apps. You can have most of the time we all have our phones on us, but you know, in my home, at my work, in my bag, in my work van, I have a Bible. In my little office, I have a Bible. In my home, I have Bibles all around. Why? Because I want God's word all around me. And more important, I wish my memory was better. I could memorize whole books of the Bible, where I could just cite, have it with me when I'm not even physically looking at God's word. You know, that's to be in God's word is important. To have scriptural memorization is important. Why? Because if we don't have a Bible around us, and most of us will have a cell phone, so you can have a digital copy of God's word, you can go to it. And if you're in a moment of attack and you can't get free, that's what memorization, you can actually start. I will, when I'm going through, I can't physically grab my Bible and look at it. I'm in a moment of attack, or somebody's at me, attacking me. I start going through God's word in my mind, scriptures I have memorized over the years, over and over. I'm telling you, when you do that, there's a peace about it. There's a calm about it. That is the power of God's word. And I want to tell you, haven't done that, I want to encourage you to try to, because that's important. Because darkness can't handle God's light, his scripture. Satan cannot handle God's scripture. That's just going to tell you, that is a fact. And you see that through scripture. John 8:44, and it's still going on the thing. Who's the enemy we're entertaining when we let him come in our life and have those conversations? And we'll tell you those conversations that Satan will. He will try to get you to shed doubt on scripture, on God's word. John 8:44 said, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do." And he was a murderer from the beginning, and abound not in truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Here in the context, Jesus is speaking to the religious groups here, that they thought they had it figured out, but he's pointing out, I want to tell you, Jesus Christ did not sugarcoat it. He looked at them and said, "Ye are the father, the devil, the lust of your father." That didn't make them feel very fuzzy and warm inside. And I'm going to tell you, if a preacher came up to you and said, you are the father, you are of your father the devil, and lust of your father you will do, he was a murderer, it wouldn't make you feel very happy. Even though you are needing that rebuke, you will not probably invite that preacher back. Why? Because the church is so corrupted with deception. It's not even funny. They cannot heed true rebuke from a man of God because they are so wrapped up in the lies of the enemy. It breaks my heart. It saddens me. But this is the age we're living in. And this is not unscriptural. Jesus did it. We can do it. Of course, with love. And Jesus did this with love because he's trying to open their eyes to the deception that Satan has wrapped around them. They have allowed Satan to blind them as we can allow Satan to blind us, as Eve allows Satan to blind her, and as Adam allows Satan to blind him too. We can. God's word is true. Everything else is a lie. When the world tells you there's more than two sexes, they are lying. They are operating in the father of lies, Satan. If a preacher is in the pulpit or you're listening to one online and he tells you that there's more than two sexes, he is a liar and he is operating in the spirit of Satan. And we need to get away from that guy, that teacher, that harlot, that one who has now is infested with Satan's lies, and now he's trying to get you to accept that there is only two sexes, male and female. God created male and female. You cannot change biology. As a secular science would say, follow the science, except when it comes to that, because it doesn't fit their narrative. I want to tell you, we need to wake up. We need to realize what is happening, how they're indoctrinating our kids to believe that they can be multiple genders, how they can be, even here in America, don't think it's not happening, where kids are thinking they are animals, cats, and wanting us to endorse that. And guess what? They're getting that. Why? Because we're operating against God's word. And it's sad. When the world tells us that evolution is true science, and evolution, simply put, is against God's word. They say there is no biblical God. We are God. We determine our destination. We came from nothing, and we have decided that, and we are now teaching and been teaching your kids this for years upon years and decades. And now what we have is a nation that is anti-God. And when we start preaching these things, we will not be viewed lightly. They will be mad. They will want to shut us up. Why? Because Satan is a liar. Our mind, our thought patterns, we need to weigh that with God's word, God's truth. Not a man's word, not a preacher's word. That preacher should go to Scripture. And if he's not, he needs to be called out on that. His word does not trump God's word. I get so burdened by looking at these popular preachers today, these popular televangelists, and they take that man's word over the Scripture any day, and there's nothing you can say to them. Only you can pray for them, hope the Holy Spirit wakes them, rattles them, shakes them to realize the deception they have allowed themselves to be part of. One example is Halloween time. We just got out of Halloween. Guys, Halloween is a dark holiday. Don't fool yourself saying it isn't. Now, I am not against doing things at church. I am not against on having a festival time like a fall fest. But if you take a fall fest and you just say it to rename it so you can celebrate Halloween, meaning if your kids are still dressing up in darkness, and I've seen this. I've been to churches. I can tell you all churches I've been to, that this is a deception. They say Fall Fest, we're taking it back. We're taking it from Satan. But then the kids start coming up dressing up like witches or darkness. No! You are not taking nothing back. You just renamed it. And you're still celebrating darkness. Do festival things. But make God the center of that. Don't have a witch trunk or treat and say, oh, we're giving out scriptures. You cannot serve two masters. You're trying to, but I want to tell you, God does not look down. God looks down on that, and He is not happy with that. You're trying to take darkness and make it look light. Guess who does that? Satan. Masquerades as an angel of light. You're operating in the spirit of Satan. Not saying that you are. But look at Peter here. He was on point. And then Jesus saying, rebuking him. Right? And you need to be rebuked. Will that make you happy? No. Am I here to make you happy? If you're wanting God's word and the truth, yes. If not, then no, I'm not here to make you happy. I'm here to point you to God's word. I'm not here to be popular, to be your friend. I would like to be your friend. But God's word comes first. Your opinion comes second. And that will always be my stance. Even though I will not be invited. I hope one day. I pray that the churches in America start opening their eyes. And I pray around here that they start opening their eyes. And I get invited more physically to physically preaching churches. But here, I'm giving you scriptures. I'm giving you God's word. You love it or hate it, that's on you. But do not enter my... That was my first point, guys, and we are almost on the hour. Go figure. So I guess that'll be about the only point I hit on this session, and we'll have to hit the other 2 points next week. Yeah, that's what we'll do, because I try to keep these by an hour. Don't entertain Satan. Do not go to a two-way conversation with Satan. The other thing I want to hit on is Matthew 4. I'm going to briefly touch on this one. Do not confuse this. This is Satan's world. You may not have heard that phrase, especially if you're just joining this first. This is the first one. I encourage you to go to part one, because you're going. You won't fully get this. Maybe you may not ever want to listen to this again. So that could be the case. Matthew 4, this is Satan's world. And how we get that is, and we can point that to many, but we're dealing with spiritual warfare here. So Matthew 4, 8, and this right here is dealing with the temptation of Jesus. And when you look at Matthew 4, 1, that first verse is, then was Jesus led up in the spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And of course, verse 2 said he was fasting 40 days and 40 nights. And he was afterward a hunger. And then the tempter comes, is another title for Satan, the devil. And he starts hitting Jesus with these three temptations that's recorded in Scripture for us. And one that I want to point out is verse 8. And the devil took him up into a exceedingly high mountain, showing him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he said unto them, all these things will I give unto thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Now, wherever, how you want to picture this, but this is Satan presenting the kingdoms, right, of the world. The world. So he's presenting. He said, here's Jesus. I will give you all of these. How can he give Jesus those if he's not over them? Just think about that. This is Satan's world. Jesus created this world, but there is this curse. And Satan has reign over this world. Now, of course, God is sovereign. He controls what Satan has control over. And he has allowed Satan to have control over this world. Because why? Genesis 3, 1 through 7. The fall of humanity. We have done this, not God. And I won't even get to point 2 where we talk about the goodness of God, him wanting to doubt that. So we'll actually get more into that. But that's why I said this is Satan's world. But listen to verse 10. It says, and then said Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, worship thy God, and in him only shalt thou serve. What is Jesus doing here? He's pointing to Deuteronomy 6:13. He is pointing, and that would be part of what we would call the Pentateuch, the Torah. That have been a very popular, memorized scripture. When he says written, he's pointing to scripture, to popular oral tradition of the law. And he is what? Pointing to God's word. That is what we are supposed to do. We are to point to God's word when we are being tempted. We are being challenged in this life. And I won't be able to get to the second point. So I'm going to scroll down here to my conclusion part. So in closing, because I'd probably be another hour into my second point if I'm not careful. Take home message, guys. Remember the point, that first point, or I guess it would be the pretty much the summarization of this sermon and this teaching today is, do not let Satan direct your conversation. Do not let Satan direct your conversation. One-way conversation. Satan comes, and you can look in Genesis 1 through 7 again, and we've looked at that, how Satan came at Eve. If Eve would have simply countered with God's word, it would have been end of the story. Did God really say that? Yes, he did. Thus said God, do not eat. I will listen, I will obey what God has said. For he has said it, and he means good, and you walk away. Of course, we know that did not happen. Eve started entertaining the enemy. And we went into who are we entertaining when we go into conversation with Satan? All right? We looked at John 10:10. The thief, Satan comes not but to kill, but to steal, kill, and destroy. That is what Satan does. He has not changed. He may try to paint it like he's not doing that. He might say, hey, like he was doing in Matthew 4, I can give you all these things of this world. And what breaks my heart when I look at celebrities who profess to be Satan worshipers, and it breaks my heart because they have all the wealth that you can imagine. They have these beautiful homes, and they have these beautiful cars, and they have all the things that you could possibly want in this life. But here's the thing: this life is only temporary. If we're blessed and we live 100 years, that is nothing compared to eternity. Most of us won't even see 100. And how this world is going. If we live if we're young, I'm 42. If I live my natural life, I believe God will be back before then. Meaning, rapture. And I do believe in a rapture. I just believe it occurs at the end of everything. So if these celebrities, they live to 80, you know, and it's sad. You hear like, for instance, Robin Williams, and you guys may have seen some of his movies, and they are vulgar, some of them. And I used to watch a lot of his movies when I was, you know, in living for Satan, basically. But you know, and he does have some clean movies too out there. But he was, and the point is, he was very wealthy. He had everything that you can imagine. But then it comes out how he was so depressed, how he was so miserable, and how he killed himself. Everything you could imagine, he had. All the material things, but he was missing something. And that was Jesus Christ. That's what Satan does in the end. I imagine Robin Williams, he lived he suffered from depression. But I imagine when it came to wanting things in his life, he could go and get anything he wanted. But did that fill the void? Did that fill the longing? And I pray, I don't know how, you know, his last moments on this earth, and I'm not going to assume anything about his last words. We pray that at that point in time he repented, that somebody came to him. And I know through his life, because God's word tells us none of us will be out excused. So there was, he had an encounter one way or the other. I don't know his history. I don't know who he encountered with. I don't know. I just know God's word says that he will give everybody opportunities to come to him. So at one time he did hear God's word. I don't know how or what, how he heard it, but he had to hear it because I trust God's word. And I pray that at that time on his deathbed or whatever, that he did think about it. Of course, then you think about suicide and the tragedy of it and the controversial of it. But that isn't the point. The point is that he had everything he wanted, but there was something else missing. That's how Satan does. He said, I'll give you this world. He paints it so beautiful, like the fruit to Eve. You know it had to be a beautiful looking fruit. It caught her eyes. And we went, of course, to the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. And you can see all three of those in that passage, and they played in that. Hook, line, and sinker, she took of it. It led to the fall of humanity. And of course, Adam did too. Both of them collectively were involved. Don't try to throw Eve under the train, Adam was just as guilty. Notice one thing when you look at the account, that sin didn't come into the world until who? Adam took. These are these nuances of scriptures when we keep looking at them. It's like, huh? People are like, oh, we're going to throw Eve under the bus. And it, Adam was really at fault. And it wasn't until Adam took that sin came into the world. That's when they started feeling that guilt. But Satan is a thief, right? He came there to kill, to steal, kill, and destroy. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking who he may devour. John 8:44, he tells us who Satan is. He's the father of lies. He was a murderer from the beginning. This is pointing to Genesis, and bound not in truth. Why? Because he was lying to manipulating what God had said. And that's what he always does. Surely did God say this, and there's no truth in him. There is no truth in Satan. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and he is the father of it. He is father of the lie. The major lie that we see in Genesis was the did God really say that? And I want to tell you, he does that today. And that's why we do not need to enter in conversation with Satan. Because when we do, we are opening ourselves for that deception. We do not encounter that. We do not want to encounter that. Why? Because we, I don't care how smart you think you are, you're not smart enough than Satan. Why? But Satan's smart. Do not think he isn't. So that's why we go to God's Word. Because the power of God's Word will break Satan's neck every time. And that's part of spiritual warfare. Knowing God's Word and memorizing God's Word, or having His Word around when somebody, and when He comes around, we counter with God's Word, not our opinion. Do not enter conversation with Satan. Counter him. A two-way conversation. That's what I'm talking about. One-way conversation is all you need. I guess that could be a misleading, do not enter conversation. I'm speaking of a two-way conversation. And I talked a little bit about that in the other teaching and sermon series. That's why I say you got to listen to them collectively. Take notes. This is important. You will not hear many preachers talking like this, preaching on this. Why? Because we are in the last days, and they will avoid these topics as much as possible. And if they do, they're distorting God's Word, right? I'm centering on God's Word here. This is the ultimate. The Bible is the ultimate spiritual warfare manual. You don't need no secondary sources. I recommend a book. A secondary source is about the only book I found that I have really felt by the Holy Spirit is solid on spiritual warfare. I mentioned that in other part of the series, and that was Dr. Carl I. Payne, Spiritual Warfare. Spiritual Warfare, Christians, Demonization, and Deliverance. So, I believe the only book he ever written. But man, it's a wonderful supplement, a secondary source of looking at it. And there's a ton of books out there not good. But that's about the only book I've found that's really pretty accurate, pretty reliable, that's solid scripture-wise. In this, there may be some other books out there, but I've read quite a few of them. I haven't read all of them, but the take home message is here: do not let Satan direct your conversation. One way conversation. Thus says God. Quote his word and be done with the enemy. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity, Lord, just to get into your word. God, I pray through this session, God, that whoever hears this, that I know I hit on things and they may have there may be things that they may have not heard of, but I pray, Lord, that they just go to the scripture themselves, pray on it, seek God's direction, lean on the Holy Spirit, not their feelings. And we live in a world where feelings is emotions and feelings are number one and God's word is second. That's dangerous. That's how the televangelists make their money. They appeal to the psychology and the emotion of people. And that's when they're multiple millionaires and billionaires. Because people want to hear that. The massive deception. Satan is intelligent. He knows it. They're playing right out of his playbook. And the mass is following them. Well, I pray that God, their eyes are open to the reality and the truth of the gospel before it's too late. My heart hurts for them, yearns for them. I pray this message makes it to them, but I know it will make it to whoever that you have in mind, God. For I don't have no control over that. You have control over that. And I give it, of course, your will be done, not mine. Guys, we just close this out. Lord, I pray that you just be with us the rest of the day. That you guide and you direct our steps throughout the week, throughout this month, throughout the years. Help us focus more on you and your scriptures. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Love you guys. Once again, you can reach out to me through Facebook, Twitter. Instagram, I don't really use those mediums or those social media sites very much. I started using Twitter a little bit more. Of course, on here there is the email. You can email me. Just make sure you, in the subheading, that you put like Wake Up America Church question, because it can go to spam. And if I'm not, you know, I'll check my spam, and if I don't see something, I'm deleting all of it. Like if something don't stand out, so make sure in like the headline, hit the sub thing, you put Wake Up America questions or something, because it can go in spam and not in my main box. The best area is probably the private message me through Facebook, and when you do that, make sure you put Wake Up America Church Ministries /questions and present your questions there, and we can actually communicate through that without you being part of my Facebook group. I don't really get too much. I do get friend requests, but I don't get I'm very careful who I put on my Facebook. Just don't add anybody on my Facebook group. So, y'all have a good rest of your day. And hopefully tomorrow will be Sunday. And I'm doing this kind of early. I normally will do this on Sunday, but I went ahead and do this early. Pray that you have a good in-home or fellowship with your brothers and sisters in a building, or maybe are doing a home ministry. When two or three are together, he is in the midst, and that is the church, right? The building doesn't make the church. The people make the church, the believers. Y'all have a good day. Bye.